How do you feel today? I didn't ask you, how are you? Which is usually the norm, right? But I say, how do you feel? See, we are all humans, and none of us are perfect. Physically, mentally, emotionally, although in many other ways we all have weak and strong attributes, but as humans, as human beings, we will never be perfect, not to other people's eyes, not to our own eyes. Unless you are a self-centered or egomaniacal individual to think so, but I know none of you are that. Now, as Christian believers, our Heavenly Father sees us all perfect. And thanks to the works and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, spiritually perfect, as if we have never, ever failed. But more than once, our brains, our minds get flooded and clogged with everything that happens around the world and in our own lives. And many, many times we have shared about who we really are, right? We are sons and daughters of God. We all know most of the verses that say so, that even God Almighty is our own witness that we are sons and daughters of His. And He exhorts us to renew our minds to the point of being transformed by burying the old man, putting on the new one, to live an agape lifestyle so we can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of His. But things happen. As the book of Matthew said in chapter 6, if you go there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Because as I say, we are all humans. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass on the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He no much more clothe you, O ye all little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we, as sons and daughters of God, are beyond these verses. All of these were written for our learning, as Romans chapter 15 say. If you go there, chapter 15, Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things we were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Patience, my dear, as I say in my prior teaching, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And it will sprout, flourish, and mature as we spiritually grow in our daily walk. Verse 5, Romans 15, verse 5 say, now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one to another according to Jesus Christ, that ye might, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the name of the game, my friends. And that's the reason why we are here on earth today. To give the glory to God with our lives. And the next verse corroborates just that. Verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive here in both instances is proslambano. It means to accept, to admit. So do you accept your fellow believers? I should say yes, with capital letters and exclamation mark. Yes! But my question was, how do you feel today? Is your body aching? Have your feelings been hurt? Are your minds flooded and clogged by the rumors of wars, the price of gas, the worries of famine, the earthquakes, and the curse of the world? Don't be! As a friend I have, my brother Ricardo, a pastor, sometimes said to me, "Brother, God is still in control." Because apart from what we just read in Matthew concerning taking no thought for tomorrow, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, if you go there, in verse 5, says, Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." So, why fear, do I ask? Why worry or take thought for the morrow? God is still in control. He is the God of patience and consolation. He is our helper. And he wants us to be like-minded, one to another, so we can glorify him. Now the next verse gives us one more reason to don't you worry about a thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So why fear? Why worry? We are not appointed to wrath. Verse 10. "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And my dear friends, no one, nothing can stop this from happening by our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Just remember what Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 say. We all know that very well. Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you have total confidence that nothing could ever separate us from the agape of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Not even how you feel today? Not even if your feels were hurt yesterday? Not even if you worry about the curse of the world? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 11. I mean, we're 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11. Let's go back there. We were reading in Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11. Wherefore means to urgently counsel, to encourage, to admonish. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is one of my goals of this teaching for today. I want to urgently counsel or encourage you, to embolden you, to take no thought for tomorrow, to have no worries, to have no fear. Verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake and be at peace among yourself. As God through Paul asks us in the book of Romans to be like-minded one to another. In Hebrew, God asks us to be whole. Here we are in Thessalonians. But in Hebrew, asks us to be whole, us to consider exceeding abundantly in agape. Those who toil, work hard, feel fatigue, and sometimes weary. That is what the word labor implies here. In short, to recognize them for the work they do. I want to thank Joe. I want to thank Jerry for the hard work they do. Sometimes we don't mention that it takes time. It takes effort. It takes so many things to, well, we have fellowship on Sunday. Okay, well, we showed up, but we don't know what Joe did. Jerry is just talking about a book. You know, he didn't write that in 5 minutes, in 1 week, maybe not 1 month, maybe it took him years. Just asking how many years it took him to write his first book. So, I'm not looking for recognition for myself, but I want to recognize those who labor. And that's what labor means. It means to work hard. It means sometimes to struggle. You know, I was working in this teaching, and through some verses that I was working on, I just started to cry. Because they hit home. And that's one of the things that I want to share sometimes, that when you hear Joe, Jerry, or even myself, Preston, Jaylene, anyone who shares the word, that the word hit home, that you take it into your heart and live it. So, this, in short, is just to recognize these people. Now, if being like-minded one toward another by accepting or admitting our fellow believers into our lives is only one way to glorify God, don't you think that accepting ourselves would have the same validity? I would say, sure. But why would I say that? Well, hopefully not in our fellowship, but many so-called Christian believers still continue to consider themselves sinners, inadequates, unworthy, falling short of the grace of God. But if I still consider myself a sinner, how can I be of the same mind with you all? I cannot. So first things first. In Spanish, we say, ¿cuánto tienes? ¿Cuánto vales? Meaning, the more you have, the more you're worth. Or, como te ven, te tratan. Meaning, you are treated the way you look. And my second question of the day is, how much do you think you are worth? Or how do you treat yourself? And my third and final question is, do you measure your life by the world standards, or do you value yourself in accordance to God's guidelines? Go to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read an interesting story about a man who say was not worthy. Matthew chapter 8 verse 5. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saying to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man was really an important man. And being a Roman citizen, he was not supposed to ask Jesus for anything. But that was not the main reason he considered himself unworthy. He was a humble and meek person. But he understood very well the mechanics of authority. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I said unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is a wonderful story of believing, humbleness, acceptance, authority, and power. Verse 13, Matthew 8, verse 13. And Jesus saying to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. This centurion knew he was not supposed to ask for anything, but he still approached Jesus and asked for help, as verse 5 mentioned. In verse 8, he said that he was not worthy, that Jesus should even go under his roof. This word worthy is the Greek word hikanos. Among other translations, basically means adequate, sufficient, good enough. Do you feel good enough today? Now, the word servant refers to a slave or a servant. But verses 8, 6, 8, and 13 uses the word, the Greek word pais, which very often describes a child or a young person. But in this case, specially refers to a slave or a servant. And the word servant in verse 9 is doulos, meaning a bond slave by love. But when Jesus refers to the servant, he uses the word pais, telling the centurion that his young servant had been healed. Now, let's go to the book of Luke and take a look. So we see a few details Matthew didn't mention. Now, because of that, many detractors of God's word say that the Bible contradicts itself. That Matthew may say things that Luke left out or vice versa. All of that is hogwash, as Jerry used to say sometimes. And the fact that we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, although some of them were not apostles or direct disciples, were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And God's word said in the Old Testament and as in the epistle that in the mouth or two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So there's more than one witness to declare that. Luke chapter 7 verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy, worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, have it under my shoulders, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and saying to the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. We see that this young servant was very dear to the centurion. Dear is the Greek word entimos, meaning valued, more honorable, precious. So this was not just a run-of-the-mill kind of servant, but a precious one, with a high value unto his master's eyes. And this servant was about to die. Verse 3 says that he, the centurion, heard of Jesus, but he didn't know him. He never saw him, but sent unto him the elders of the Jews. That's how he approached him. He didn't come close to Jesus. Matthew didn't say that, but Luke mentions that, making the picture clearer. The elders were the leaders of the various clans and tribes. So, apparently they serve a decision-making council. This centurion did not force the elders to go to see Jesus. He asked them, and they went to see him, to beseech to request to ask him to come and heal the servant and see what the elder says to Jesus in verse 4. They prayed. They invoked by imploration. As soon as they saw him to do this for the centurion, because they knew he was worthy of deserving of due reward of what he was asking for. Now the word worthy here, the one that elders use, is not the same like in Matthew. This is the Greek word axios, which means deserving, among other translations. While the centurion didn't feel himself good enough to allow the Lord to come under his roof, the elders, on the contrary, told Jesus Christ that this man deserved to have an answer to his request. Verse 5 enlists the reason why the elders considered this man one who deserved due reward. They say, for he loveth, he agapao, our nation. They didn't say, well, he's a good neighbor. He always give, you know, alms to the church. He helps everybody here. He's a kind man. No. They say, because he agapao, our nation. And agapao, or from agape, involves good character, involves conduct, involves behavior. And the nation they were referring to was God's chosen people. So this man had a great heart. His deeds, his actions spoke louder than just words and feelings of affection. He not only cared for his dear servant, he basically agapao Israel. Jesus went with the elders without asking. But before he approached the house, the centurion sent some philos, some friends, to Jesus to say, don't bother to come all the way to my house. Like the book of Matthew mentioned. Not because his house wasn't clean or big or nice enough to receive the Lord. It was not the house. It was him. He still didn't feel good enough. And that is the same word Matthew uses, haikano. He was not good enough to face the Lord. The same Greek word used in Matthew. And in verse 7, he said that neither though himself to be worthy to include in the reception crew and get close to the Lord. This word, the second word he uses is axio. He didn't think good of himself. He thought himself he didn't deserve the privilege to see the Lord face to face. And it's not because he considered himself a bad person or a sinner, but because besides being a Roman citizen, he had a meek heart. He was a humble person. His agape way of conduct shows us that. Now, here comes something very interesting. You know all that which is read. He thought he was not good enough for the Lord to come to see his house or to come into his house. Neither deserve himself the privilege to see Jesus Christ face to face. But look on what he said. Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Lord, you don't even have to be here. I don't need to see you. I'm not worthy. But just say the word. Do we need to see Jesus when we pray? When we ask God for anything? We don't. And we're not going to see him until he comes back. Right? So, this man I don't think he thought Jesus knew magic, you know, or some healing spell. Just do a healing spell and my servant will recover. I don't think so. This man heard of what Jesus, our Lord, had done. He heard of him. Everybody was talking about Jesus in the region. So he knew of his authority and his power, and he probably also believed that he was the Son of God. You can see this man's humbleness and the respect or reverence he showed for the Lord. But we can also see this man's logic. Please, read again verse 8. Somebody, please.
For I also am a man set over authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
So you see, he knew that Jesus Christ had the power and the authority, that by only saying a word, his servant shall be healed. You know what? That power and authority reside within us. Is God in Christ in you? With the same authority and power to say the word. Verse 9. It's a verse that we need to look as an inspiration to keep us pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does it say? Jesus marveled. This verse simply says that the Lord marveled. He felt admiration for this man. And when he addressed the people, he told them that he had never seen or found a man with such conviction. He never found someone with such believing, not even an Israelite. Don't forget that this man was not from the house of Israel. He was not asking even for himself. Verse 10 shows the results of this man's believing. His servant got healed. So when the table was set only with food for the children, he got by his believing not just crumbs, but a whole loaf of bread for his servant. Today, we are God's people. We have Christ in us. We have power from on high. But sometimes we might feel inadequate, that we are not worthy of who we are, or that we have, or what we have, or that we're not good enough to speak or to teach the word to others, or that we don't deserve to be called sons and daughters of God, but we are. We also heard of Jesus Christ. We had heard and seen all his works, all his wonders, and some have even touched what God have in store for us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not by with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in a tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The word able is the same Greek word haikano. Here it means qualified, but it also means adequate, worthy. That is what God put in His word on what He think of us. And we better believe it, because it's truth. I didn't paste that from the Dallas Morning News, and I didn't watch in any of the night news, TV shows. It is written. We are God's people. We deserve everything from Him. We are good enough to receive all from our Heavenly Father because we are His dear children. And God Himself made us able ministers of Him. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with, from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto agape and to good works. So, that is what we are. And that's not my opinion. It's from God's own heart. We are God's written epistles, and God is our sufficiency. Let us keep ourselves near Him, holding fast the profession or confession of our believing with all confidence, provoking or inciting in a good way one to another, unto agape and to good works. And as I say, we may sometimes consider ourselves not good enough, just like the centurion, to receive or even ask things from God. But it's not what we consider or think about ourselves. It's what God and His Word say. We must accept that. And we just hear about acceptance, as a acceptance and the manifestations. If God had already accepted us, why do we not accept ourselves? Why do we not accept what His words say? Just take it. How many times Jerry shared about acceptance? I don't know. I lost count. God say we are good enough, deserving and qualified to speak and teach His word to others, to claim all of His promises and to receive all of His blessings. We could take either role from this story. That of the centurion and his unparalleled belief that even our Lord Jesus Christ marveled, plus His great example of meekness, humility, agape, and reverence to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or we can take the role of the servant as a bond slave, like this dear young servant, to whom the centurion loved as if it were his own child, because he was of more honor and great value to him. And do you know what our Heavenly Father also keep us in high regard? You don't have to go there, but I read it to you. Psalm 116:15 say, precious is in the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious means costly, valuable. So we as Christian believers, sons and daughters of God, are of a high value into His sight. But we don't have to die to be that precious. We are when we are alive. But whether we are awake or asleep, should live together with Him. So let us develop that kind of believing as of the centurion. Be humble, meek, and respect for God, for His Word, for Jesus Christ, and for each other. We are worthy. We are able ministers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. I'll read it to you. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So, you know, God doesn't have a soul. He's not a man. The Greek word for soul here is psyche, meaning life, self, the inner being. So, is where our thoughts and our thinking process occur. So, in verse 38, when you really go to the Greek, you understand that it's not really talking about the soul of God. It's talking about the light of God within your soul, the Word of God within you, the inner being. Your inner being have no pleasure when you draw back or shrink. And that word doesn't mean to separate from God. It means to intimidate, to cower. So you do not cower in your confidence. You do not cower on your speaking God's word. I don't care what the world might think or say about me. My walk, my way of life, must to line up in accordance to God's guidelines, not to the standards of the world. And regardless of how I feel or think, I must accept myself and my fellow believers, because God had already accepted me in Christ Jesus. So we are good enough, and we deserve everything from our Heavenly Father. I do care about what God says and thinks about me. So I beseech you to simply enjoy all of His blessings and all of His promises, as the book of Ephesians says. Ephesians 3:20, to close. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, and amen. So, brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, don't you ever think that you're not safe, that you're not being redeemed, that you're not just, righteous. Don't you ever think you're not worthy, because we are His beloved children. Yes, we are worthy. God bless you.